This is Paul Mills. Thank you for listening to this message from God's Word. It is my prayer that God will speak to you today, bring hope, healing, and direction in your life.
Take your Bibles, please. Turn with us to the book of Philippians. I'm beginning a new series this morning on the subject of how to be joyful. We live in a very stressful time. The news is not always positive, in case you haven't noticed. The economic front, the political front, the situations that exist in so many arenas are almost to a point that they can overwhelm you. Watching the news can be a dangerous thing. We need answers. We need hope. We need a word from God to speak into our lives in such a time as this, to let us know that we have meaning, we have purpose, that there is a hope, there is a future. And in spite of what doctors tell you, in spite of what politicians tell you, God has a plan for you. Take your Bibles, please. Turn with us to the book of Philippians, chapter 1. I'm beginning a series this morning. We'll be on for the next few weeks from the book of Philippians. Will you stand with us, please, for the reading of the Word of God? Philippians chapter 1. And we are beginning in verse number 1, Philippians 1, 1. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus. I could preach on that. Servants. When we understand the lordship of Jesus, that He's in charge, we're not. That's a big truth to learn. To the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. If Paul were here this morning, he would probably begin by speaking to the church that is here in Plano by saying, grace and peace to you. How many of you know we need to have that word spoken to us? We just need to have grace and peace. We need to have life. We need to have a hope spoken to us. Verse 3 says, I thank my God every time I remember you and all my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the very first day until now. And that partnership, by the way, was both praying for Paul, encouraging him, supporting him, and financially giving to him. Verse 6 is one of my favorite verses in all of Scripture, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. That has been my life verse for many years. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. For whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in the knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ Jesus, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Lord, anoint your word, bring life through it. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, you may be seated. Today we're beginning a new series of messages from the book of Philippians. We're going to be going through Philippians verse by verse over the next few weeks. Philippians is a very personal book. It's probably the most personal of the epistles that Paul wrote. In it, he really opens up and shares his frustrations, his hopes, his fears. And in the book of Philippians, we find many things that we find nowhere else. But probably the predominant theme throughout Philippians is this theme of joy. The word joy or rejoice or be glad is used 17 different times. It's a book that you need to read when you're depressed. It's a book that you need to read when you're down and you're discouraged and you need hope and you need something to pick you up, because the gospel of or the book of Philippians is a book that will do that. If relationships are bad in your life, and this is primarily a book about relationships. Life is difficult. If the people you love are not treating you well, if your relationships with people you love is not going well, you're going to have a hard time having the joy that God intended for you to have. Most great leaders have something in common. And that is, they enjoy people. Great leaders enjoy people. Now, that's not always easy, because sometimes people are not easy to enjoy. Sometimes you order lemonade and you get lemons. But God intends for us to enjoy, number one, our relationship with Christ, and number two, our relationship with Christ people. Ecclesiastes 9:9 says, enjoy life with your wife whom you love. I'll give you a little tidbit. It's easier to enjoy life with your wife if you love them. Amen? It's easier to enjoy life with anybody if you love them. And in order to love them, you're going to have the supernatural power of Christ. Because otherwise, you'll just tolerate them. Otherwise, you'll just put up with them, endure them. And that's not a very enjoyable way to live life. So we're going to be giving you keys for how to relish the relationships that are in your life. In your notes, and I encourage you to take your notes, I've given you four steps, and we may not get all of them covered this morning. We'll cover what we can, and we'll pick up next week. But number one is to be grateful for the good that is in other people. Philippians 1:3, we just got through reading it, says, I thank my God every time I remember you. Paul is saying, I like to remember the good things about people. I'm going to focus on the good times we've had. I'm going to focus on the positive things that we have enjoyed together. And the question that I want to ask you this morning is, what do you remember most about people? We can choose to remember the bad things, how that person is no good, how that person hurt us, how that person let us down. Or we can remember the good things about that person. We can see that person as God would see that person and say, Lord, I'm going to let your grace operate in me and through me, because I want to be a God kind of person. In Acts chapter 16, and we'll not take time to go there, we really have the background to Paul's trip to Philippi. When he gets to Philippi, and this is really the first Gentile city, or the first city in Asia Minor that he goes to, and there he meets a lady down and her friends down by the river, Lydia, and begins to talk with her, and this lady becomes a believer, in fact, the first believer in Asia Minor. And She invites Paul and the men that are with him home, and a great relationship is established there, and the first church in Asia Minor begins in Lydia's home. And the revival began to take place, and Paul began to share Christ with others, and God began to do good things. And how many of you know when God begins to do good things, the devil is not always happy about that? And because of what was taking place, as revival began to break out, the leaders of that city began to become jealous. They arrested Paul and Silas. They put them in jail. Acts chapter 16 gives a marvelous account of that. God shows up. God sees them in jail. God shows up. They call for the jailer, and he gets saved. He gets born again in the middle of the night. They take him and his family, and they get baptized, and they get added to this little church. And I mean, revival begins to take place. Folks, when God begins to do something, you can't hold it back. God's hand has been on this church from the very beginning. Now, the devil has come against us in many different ways, but I want the devil to know he is a defeated foe. When God is for you, who can be against you? And the devil can just huff and he can puff. But the house is not coming down. Amen? When God begins a thing, and God had begun a work, and that work was going to take place. And Paul had those memories of what had taken place in that church in those early days. If you're going to enjoy people, you must remember the best and forget the rest. Because the devil will bring up negative thoughts. He'll bring you into church and say, "Do you know about that person? Do you know about that person?" And he'll try to destroy your relationships. Yes, I know about that person and about that person. And you know what? They're under the blood of Christ. Amen? And if God has forgiven them, who am I to drag anything up against them? They have been forgiven. God has already done a work in their lives. Focus on the good. Choose to emphasize the strengths. Don't allow the enemy to come and to bring accusations and division and hurt. Ladies and gentlemen, perfect people do not exist. They don't exist in marriages. They don't exist in churches. Amen? And if you're going to have a successful marriage, you're going to have to learn to put up with somebody that's not perfect. Has anybody had someone that's not perfect? And I will not ask for any present circumstances, but I'm a lot of gouging going on. Now, we have to learn to accept people where they are, love them, appreciate them, build them up, and realize that God is working through them. Philippians 1:5 in our text that we read says, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, Paul appreciated people's loyalty. And I tell you what, you may not be perfect, but you can be loyal. You may not be a mistake-free person, but you can be a loyal person that says, hey, I'm giving it my best. And in a church, you're going to have to learn it's made up of imperfect people, but they are forgiven. Amen? How many of you are forgiven today by the blood of Jesus? And so we bond together, to walk together, to stay together, and let God work in us and through us. Paul is saying he was grateful for the good that was in people. Number two is to practice positive prayer. Verse 4 of our text said, in all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy. He always prays with joy. He's not praying a prayer, Lord, you know how awful they are. You know how imperfect they are. You know how many mistakes they've made. Now, Paul was looking beyond the mistakes. Paul was looking beyond their imperfection, and he was praying for them with the joy of the Lord. Lord, I want to thank you. You're working in their lives to strengthen them, to perfect them, to make them what you want them to be. And Lord, I want to thank you that your kingdom is coming, your will is being done on earth as it is in heaven. I want to thank you that you're at work in them, you're at work in me, and there is a plan and there is a purpose that you have for each one of us. His prayers encouraged people. We can pray the nobody knows the trouble I've seen kind of prayers, or we can pray the kind of prayers that say, what a mighty God we serve. And Lord, I want to thank you, you're at work in my family. I want to thank you, you're at work in our nation. And in spite of who is in charge, you're still going to work, because this is God's nation. It's God's people. And when we pray, God's going to do two things. Number one, he's going to change attitudes. And number two, he's going to change people. God is in the prayer answering business. Positive praying will produce miracles. Not just positive thinking, positive praying. When we go before God and we say, Lord, I call forth the power of your name for my family, for my children, for our nation, for our world, I pray the power of the blood of Jesus. I pray the power of the name of Jesus. And I claim everything your word says. Ladies and gentlemen, we are not normal people. We don't have to live with the garbage. Amen. By his stripes, we are healed. Amen. Where two agree is touching anything they ask, is going to be done. We have the power to agree, to pray, to claim our nation, to claim our families, to claim the things that God said were ours. We may be going through a struggle. We may be going through a difficult place. This last year has been a difficult place for Nancy and I. I want you to know we never gave up. We continued to stand in prayer, and having done all to stand, we stood. Amen? And yes, I took my medicine, and yes, I did what they told me to do, but I continued to confess the Word of God, and I continued to confess, Lord, I have a hope, and I have a future, and I want to thank you for the days that you have ahead for me. Your promises are true. They are yea. They are amen. Verse 9 of our text says, and this is my prayer. And Paul is talking about what his prayer was for these Philippian believers. This is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. How many of you know that when you go through the hard places, you go through the trials, God changes you and he makes you more like Christ? I hate tests. I hated them when I was in school. And I sure hate them now. But you know what tests do? Tests move you to the next level. Some of you are going through a test. You're going through a hard place. It may be in your physical body. It may be in your finances. It may be in your marriage. It may be in many areas of your life. That's okay. God is going to bring you through the test. You're going to come through tried as by fire without even the smell of smoke on you. That's what happened to the three Hebrew children. They came through. Back to the verses there. This is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Paul said there's four things that I want to pray for. Number one, I want to pray that your love may abound more and more. Your love will grow as your testing grows. And you learn to love more. Number two, pray that they will make wise choices. I hope that you're praying for your pastor and the staff of this church. I hope you're praying for your family. I hope you're praying for the leaders of our nation. God help them make wise choices. Number three, that they will do the right thing. That they will honor God and be pure and blameless. And number four, that they will live for God's glory. Verse 11 says, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ. Number three, and we may end with this one, but be patient with their progress. Be patient with their progress. Paul enjoined people because he looked at their future, not just their past. He saw their potential. He was patient with their progress. One of the things I've had to learn in my family, with my children, my grandchildren, is to be patient with their progress. One of the things I've had to learn in a church is be patient with people. Amen? Love them where they are. Jesus loves you where you are. Now, does he want you to grow? Does he want you to be perfected? Absolutely. And as the man said, I'm not where I ought to be, but thank God I'm not what I used to be. Praise God. There's growth taking place. But look at verse 6 of our text, and we'll close with this today. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It says, what God starts, he finishes. What God started in your life at salvation, he will eventually bring it to completion in eternity. He's not one that begins and abandons. He's one that begins and sees you through. One of the things that's given me faith through this whole sickness ordeal that I've been through, I knew that God had called me. When I was a young man, I came to faith in Christ. And I'll never forget when I was 15 years old, God calling me to preach. I can take you to Stewart Drive in Fort Worth where it happened. I mean, there's no question. I'm not sure of the date because I didn't write it down. But I know when God called me to preach the gospel. And I know when God called me to start this church, what God called me to do. So have I been concerned about some of the issues? Yes, I have been concerned. But I know the faithfulness of God. Amen? And I know that he finishes what he starts. And I covet your prayers for Nancy and me and our family and this staff. I covet your prayers for what God has ahead for us, because I know I've got a testimony that I didn't have before. Praise God. I know that there's something taking place. And as we stand together in prayer, how many of you are praying over those prayer sheets that you get? Do you? I hope you take those every week and you pray and you say, God, you know the needs that are in our church. And as we pray, we're going to see the miracles of God happen that he said would take place. But let this verse 6 has been one of my life verses for so many years. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you. Ladies and gentlemen, I didn't start this thing. He did. Amen? Aren't you glad you didn't start it? It's not your work. It's not your beginning. He began this work in you. And he will carry it on to completion. Let me tell you something. The devil can huff and he can puff, but he cannot blow your house down. He can cause wind, he can cause confusion, but he cannot destroy you. Faithful is he who began a good work in you, who will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Paul, in Scripture, knew who he was in Christ. He knew what happened on that Damascus road. He knew what had happened during those 3 days of blindness. He knew what happened when Ananias came and prayed for him. He knew what happened when the Holy Spirit filled him. And he knew his purpose. I want you to know every one of you in this room today have a purpose of God. For your family, for your community, for our nation, for this church, for Paul and Nancy Mills. We need you. Amen. We need your prayers. We need your encouragement. We need each other in the body of Christ. We need to pray one for another. Be there for one another. The day will come when Christ returns. We may not live to see it, but if we do, it's going to be a glorious thing, because we're going to have our own little chapter up in heaven. Amen? We're going to have the primetime fellowship chapter. Amen. May we pray. Lord, I want to thank you that before the foundation of the earth, you knew us. You called us. You died for us. You paid the price for our salvation on the cross. And you invited us to come and to have communion with you, to have relationship with you, to know that our sins were forgiven, that we had an eternal home in heaven, to know that all things work together for good to them that love God, who are called according to His purpose. And I want to thank you today that we belong to Christ. It doesn't matter how high the storm rages. Doesn't matter how hard the wind blows, we are secure in that love. Lord, we will walk with you until the day you say, come home. Then we will go home, Lord. We will receive our reward. We will enter into that place where our loved ones have already gone. We will rejoice. Father, we have a hope. We have a future because of your great love.
This is Paul Mills again. I pray that this message has blessed you. This ministry is possible only through the faithful prayers and financial gifts of God's people. Please pray for us and make a financial contribution so that we can continue to reach people around the world with the message of hope in Jesus Christ. You can give online by clicking the Giving tab at the top of the website, or you can give by mail to the address also listed on the Giving page. All gifts are sincerely needed, appreciated, and are tax deductible. Thank you for helping us reach the world for Christ.